Chapter 75. The two mobile phones that Major Gannon had taken from the house in Camberwell arrived at MI5's headquarters and were taken up to Giles Pritchard's office. As soon as the Major had ended his call, Pritchard had phoned Amar Singh, one of MI5's technical experts and a wizard with mobiles. Despite the early hour, Singh had promised to get to Tem's house within 30 minutes and was as good as his word. As always, he was immaculately dressed in a Hugo Boss suit, a Ted Baker shirt, and carrying a Louis Vuitton briefcase when he walked into Tem's house. Pritchard was waiting in the technical lab. He thanked Singh for coming in so early and explained the provenance of the two phones. Singh took off his jacket and hung it from a wooden hanger on the back of the door. Pritchard pointed at the phone that belonged to Javier Silva.
A senior Mexican cartel boss has, we think, been using this to stay in touch with a team of hired killers who have been running amok in London, he said. We need the number he's been communicating with so that we can get GCHQ to track it.
He pointed at the phone that had been taken from Santino Rossi.
This one, we think, has been used to communicate with a member of staff here at Tem's house, so we need to see any texts that are of interest.
Singh took Silva's phone and connected it to one of his computers. He tapped on the keyboard for a minute or so, then sat back as lines of code flashed across the screen.
How long does it usually take? Asked Pritchard.
It varies. It depends on how much software is in the phone. If it's standard Android, just a few minutes. A bit longer for an iPhone.
He leaned forward and looked at the screen, frowning, then tapped on a couple of keys.
Naughty, naughty.
What's wrong?
There's a sub-program here specifically designed to stop anyone doing what I'm trying to do, he said. If it senses that someone is trying to access the passcode while the phone is attached to a computer, then it deletes everything on the phone.
I thought nothing was ever deleted. It was just moved to another part of the memory.
True, but this program will fragment everything and make it very time-consuming to put it back together.
So we're screwed, said Pritchard.
Singh flashed his trademark confident grin.
The program is clever, but I'm cleverer, he said. I can get the passcode through Wi-Fi and bypass the sub-program. It won't take me long to set it up.
Singh's office phone rang and he answered it. He listened and then held it out to Pritchard.
It's the switchboard. Call from the States.
Pritchard took the receiver from him. The caller was the director of the Dallas office of the DEA. Pritchard looked at his watch. It was just before 8, which meant it was 2 a.m. in Texas, which accounted for the man's annoyed tone. His name was Corey Bryant, and he listened in silence as Pritchard explained what had happened. When he had finished, Bryant spoke quickly and quietly, almost as if he was reading from a script.
There is a DEA flight en route to the UK as we speak, scheduled to land at RAF Northolt at 9 o'clock your time. The last we heard from Eric Mitchell was that he had Flores in custody and that he would be at the airport.
That might well be his intention. When was the last time you had contact with Agent Mitchell?
There was a long pause, and Pritchard knew that he had asked the right question.
I spoke with Agent Mitchell about 8 hours ago, said Bryant,
and again Pritchard felt that the man was reading from a script.
So that would be after he and his men were attacked in Hampstead.
I assume so, yes.
You assume so, snapped Pritchard.
I misspoke, said Bryant. Yes, Agent Mitchell did explain what had happened and that three of his agents had perished. He felt it best that they went off-grid until the plane arrived and I agreed.
Did Agent Mitchell tell you that he had one of my people with him, Sally Page?
He did, yes.
And yet no one at the DEA thought to pass this information on to MI5.
There was another long pause.
Agent Mitchell felt that your organization was probably the source of a leak that led to the attack in Hampstead,
Bryant said eventually.
His judgment call was that the DEA should minimize contact with MI5 until Flores was out of the country.
He doesn't trust us.
In a nutshell, that's his view, yes.
Do you know where he is?
Specifically, no. He said he was in London, lying low in a safe location, and that he intended to stay there with Flores until the plane arrived.
How many agents does he have with him?
Two, said Brian. Louis Mendoza and Sam Butler.
And they are armed?
Yes.
And at what point were you going to tell us what had happened?
Once the plane had taken off, I understand that this is not what you want to hear, Mr. Pritchard, but you have to understand that the position we are in. Our people were in what we supposed to be a safe house, but it turned out to be anything but, and three of our people died. There must have been a leak somewhere within your organization, so it makes sense to cut our ties with you until the objective has been achieved.
Pritchard didn't like what the American was saying, but considering they had just caught his secretary in the process of texting sensitive information to a member of the cartel, he couldn't really fault the man's logic.
I understand, said Pritchard. Shall we speak again once the plane has taken off?
I think that's a very good idea, said Pritchard. He ended the call and immediately phoned Major Gannon. The Americans have sent a plane to pick up Flores at RAF Northolt, he said. It might be an idea if you put together a team and head out that way.
I will do, said the Major. Any joy on Hurst's location?
We're working on it, said Pritchard. As soon as I know, you'll know. But if Hurst is still pursuing Flores, there's a good chance he'll be heading out to the airfield.